A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire. We're going to have Rudolf versus Ottokar, but we're also going to have Pope problems, four popes in 1 year. Now, in the years since Frederick II rose to power in Germany, it had become a country of robber barons. The term itself, as well as highway robbery, took their names from this time. Barons and princes would levy taxes and tolls as they willed. Many roads and particularly bridges were set up for tolls to be collected, so that anyone traversing the road and passing the bridge would have to pay a tax. The duchies and counties of Germany became as they were separate states, and indeed Hungary, Poland, and Bohemia were just that. Now Austria, Saxony, and the other territories also threatened to become effectively separate states ruled by a powerful prince. Among most powerful of all these princes was Ottokar II of Bohemia. Rudolf proved to be an effective king by tearing down the castles of robber knights and barons and stopping highway robbery. He brought order back to Germany during his reigns, and laws concerning ministerialis, a sort of civil servant, were codified. In the south, codified laws were called the Swabian Mirror. In the north, the Saxon Mirror. With the suppression of the robber barons, the greatest threat to Germany was believed to be Ottokar. He was the grandson of the Emperor Philip of Swabia and the strongest prince since Henry the Lion. He had inherited Bohemia and Moravia, been elected Duke of Austria, and acquired through marriage or conquest Babenberg, Carinthia, Carniola, Styria, and Istria. In addition, he was actively seeking control over Poland, Lithuania, and even Hungary. To reduce the threat from Ottokar and weaken his position, Rudolf, with the support of other German princes, convened a diet at Regensburg in 1274, which ordered Ottokar to surrender Styria, Carinthia, and the Dukedom of Austria. Ottokar consented, but the princes didn't consider the issue resolved. When Ottokar reasserted his authority in Austria, he was placed under ban by the empire, and Rudolf invaded his lands that same year, 1276. In a few months, Ottokar was forced to yield to the Treaty of Vienna, which ordered him to renounce his claims of all of his lands except for Bohemia and Moravia, which he had actually inherited from his father, King Wenceslaus. During these turbulent times, Alfonso X of Castile continued to assert his claim to the imperial crown. He insisted that his crown had been awarded legitimately years earlier, arguing that Richard of Cornwall was a usurper, that he was being denied his rights. Having appealed to Gregory X, the Pope was eventually successful in talking Alfonso into renouncing his claims in 1275. Rudolf became the sole claimant to the title, but had not yet received the imperial diadem. Although Gregory had agreed to coronate Rudolf, troubles and lack of funds prevented Rudolf from venturing to Italy. The trouble was again Ottokar. In 1278, Ottokar again reasserted his claims over Austria and marched on Vienna. War was nonetheless short-lived, for Ottokar fell in the Battle of Dunkirk in August 26th. Years later, the question of who was the rightful heir to the former provinces of Ottokar were actually called into question. Rudolf jointly acknowledged the rights of Ottokar's heir, but only in regard to Bohemia and Moravia. He awarded Austria and Styria to his two sons, whom he was anxious to ensure as heirs. Much of his later years were spent trying to secure the right for his oldest son to inherit the throne, but the German princes were leery of a hereditary crown. They continued to resist any promise of making the House of Habsburg hereditary heirs to the throne. Well, at the same time that's going on in Germany, we have a Pope issue. Following the death of Pope Gregory X, Pope Innocent V was elected, but he's another Frenchman. He was also a friend of the famed Catholic theologian Bonaventura and the first Dominican to become Pope. He requested that Rudolf postpone his coronation as emperor while he settled on differences between the papacy and King Charles of Naples, who is now as great a threat to the papal control in Italy as the Hohenstaufen had been. In fact, there is no doubt that Charles wanted to control the Pope. The extent to which he exercised control over Innocent is unknown, but the Pope did confirm Charles's right as a senator of Rome and eventually employed strong-arm tactics against the Greek emperor Michael Palaiologos, sending envoys to tell him that Charles intended to conquer Constantinople if he didn't submit to the decree of the 14th Ecumenical Council. He died only 6 months after ascending to the papal throne. This time Charles made sure he would have a pope of his choosing. He manipulated Gregory X's rule for a new election to force the election of his partisan friend Cardinal Fesci. Among the rules were that the electors should forced to fast if they didn't elect the new pope within a certain amount of time. Charles then virtually starved the electors until they chose who he desired. The cardinal chosen was named Hadrian V, and his first act as pope was to declare null and void the new rules for electing a pope. It was also his only act, for he fell and died only a month after being pope. In Viterbo, where the electors were currently residing, the mayor attempted to compel the latest election according to the rule of Gregory X. But when they informed him that Hadrian V had nullified the rules, there was rioting and violence. The rioting were generally believed to have been people who wanted to secure the election of a pope favorable to their own political allies, or they may have been merely hooligans who sought an excuse to riot. But by the time the violence was quelled, it was clear that the Orsini, not Charles, would control the papacy. The Orsini family was now the most powerful political family in Rome. One of the Orsinis was a cardinal, who aspired to the tiara himself. He soon realized, however, he would not be able to garner enough support to win, so he had a meek man chosen who would be more willing to let Orsini, as his advisor, run the papacy. Pope John XXI was a Portuguese scholar who liked nothing better than sitting in his private cell studying. He had no real political ambition and virtually agreed to let Orsini rule in his name. That his name was chosen as John XXI requires a brief comment, for there is no John XX. In fact, the level of education had sunk to all-time lows a century before, and even scholars of the age made notorious mistakes. Many historians of the day place a Pope John XX in the 10th century, but most historians are unsure why. The truth is, a popular fairy tale had actually been accepted as history by many medieval scholars. It is the legend of Pope Joan. According to the story, a woman disguised herself as a man in order to become pope. She was discovered only after giving birth to a baby while mounting a horse. After the discovery, she was supposed to have been stoned to death by irate citizens. Of course, the story is completely mythological, but it was accepted by historians until discredited in the 17th century. It is likely Joan's papal name would have been John, hence the absence of Pope John XX. It's actually because of the general acceptance of the legend of Pope Joan, officially known as John XX. Regardless, John XXI turned the reins of government effectively over to the Orsini. Among the first actions of the Orsini was the punishment of rebel rousers at the election of Pope John XXI. Orsini was made to look like a champion of free elections. He also resumed negotiations with Rudolf for his coronation and sought submission of Constantinople to Rome's authority. Once again, it looked as if Constantinople were willing to do when John XXI died. The ceiling of his study had fallen in and killed him only 8 months after his election. There is no evidence to suggest that the accident was not an accident, but it's clear that Orsini benefited from his death. Orsini was recognized as the real power behind John's papacy. He was the natural choice to succeed him. Charles's partisans, however, were determined to prevent his election, for it was clear Orsini was a rival of Charles, as was his family. Nevertheless, after 6 long months, Orsini gained enough votes to win election and name himself Pope Nicholas III. So that was a pretty messy situation, but it's going to be somewhat typical for this period because we're not going to have strong popes for a long time. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.